There is something that makes me come. It's you. Father, we thank you. We exalt and extol you because there's none like you. Where our knowledge ends, that's where it ends. But your wisdom is unsearchable. In other words, it's unending. We appreciate you. We celebrate you. Within the short time that we have, let the devil be terrified. Let the believers be edified. And let Jesus be glorified. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus if you believe it. Hallelujah. Before I get started, why don't you celebrate the team that came up stage? That was from heaven. That was phenomenal. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. Love you right back. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, music team. Amen. Let me say some things are lost in the church. And we need to be reminded. If we don't put it in remembrance, or if we do not remind ourselves, on Sunday I said spiritual truth are slippery. And there's a generation coming after us, they may not understand what it means. Because some of us didn't uphold these things. First of all, let me start by telling you about prophets in the New Testament as opposed to the Old Testament. On Sunday, for example, somebody thought, oh, you know, Pastor gave a word of knowledge. Oh, the thing is back. God is moving again. That's not true. You have a warped mindset. And I'm going to explain why I said that. The Old Testament prophet is different from the New Testament prophet. Totally different. Because in the Old Testament, only three people heard God. Kings, prophets, judges, when there were no kings and kings. But in the New Testament, it shall come to pass in those days. I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. It's different. So the prophecy of the prophet in the New Testament is not that is harassing you. That's not the first time you heard. You heard on Sunday with your ears. When I said somebody's here and I give a word on the apology, somebody in the atmosphere said, Pastor, you're talking to me. He said it not that we planned it. Not that that's a norm. I don't know his name. You saw the way he was dressed. He's the normal member of the church. He said, I'm the one you're talking to because God has told him before. What I said was not the first time he will hear, but what I said was a confirmation. That's the way the New Testament prophet operates. If someone stopped you on the road and what they're telling you is the first time you're hearing it, is not true in the New Testament. Every Sunday, somebody's walking down the aisle saying, come here. God said, I should tell you. You are kneeling down too. You don't understand what it means. You are acting like Christ didn't come. You don't understand that the wall of partition has torn from head to toe. Now human beings can come to God directly. What does the Bible say? Come boldly. Not anyhow. Come boldly to the throne of grace. There's an office of the prophet in the New Testament. You must have discernment of the Spirit. You must have word of knowledge, word of wisdom. But the Bible says in 1 John 2:20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you are all-knowing. All things is a wrong translation. You are all-knowing. When I say it, it's possible you've not thought about it, but you go, Something resonates on your inside that's the truth. Come on, talk to me. That's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, the Bible says something to us. And I want you to, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. We can decide. I love one bishop in Ghana. Nobody ordained him. He said, from today, I'm Bishop Suso. I don't want to mention his name. He said, because the Bible says if you desire to be a bishop. So I decide from today, I'm a bishop. But you can't desire to be a pastor. No man takes this honor to himself except he who is called like Aaron was called. How was Aaron called? You know the story. But you can desire to be a bishop. You can be a businessman and be a bishop. But you can't desire to be a pastor. Come on, talk to me. So you can covet spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So prophesying is nothing. Let's read the Amplified of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Amplified. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim or your greatest quest. And endlessly desire and cultivate spiritual endowment gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Then he explains what prophecy is in the New Testament. Interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Inspired, this is not the first place that the Holy Ghost explains prophecy in the New Testament. So some of you don't understand. And you say, oh, he just preaches and goes. What else will he do? He will tell you what happened to you yesterday and tell you what will happen on Thursday. Some even brag. Why I'm explaining this to you was that I watched something on YouTube. Somebody said, not everybody is called to be a prophet. I'm a prophet. I can tell you things. I said, this person doesn't know what it means to be a prophet in the New Testament. He's operating. He has read about Elijah. He's operating as if Christ has not come. Amen. Amen. Kneel down there. You're my wife. What have I told you sisters in church to do? Slap him. And report yourself to me. Tell him that I need to hear God. A lot of people have entered trouble because of this. A lot of relationships. A lot of marriages have been in trouble because of this. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Oh, shatara, ba, 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 ba. Stand up. Stand up. You use under accord. Thus saith the Lord. That car is mine. Hebrews 13 verse 6 says, let your words be without covetousness. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 5 and verse 6, so that you may be able to boldly say that the Lord is my helper. What may one do to me? Amen, somebody. So please don't let anybody use prophecy to bamboozle. Amen. I'm not talking about those who don't read their Bibles. I'm not talking about those who don't have a relationship with God. They say, the Holy Spirit told me. You are not the one I'm talking to today. The whole church is fasting. I'm not led. I've been led for you. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about somebody walking up to you, giving you a prophecy. I don't know if I've told you before that someone walked up to my wife to give a prophecy. Didn't know that my wife was a pastor. Said, the person you are going out with. The man. Why? My wife had a car here. You know, I bought her a very good car. So she went to Sunny Plaza. The man was following her. She was wondering, why is this man following me? I've been married for so long. Why is this man following me? She just came back from church. She didn't wear a ring. She was tired. And remember, she had to buy something to cook. So the man didn't see any ring with her and started a prophecy. So she stopped and said, do you know I'm a pastor? The man took off. I said, oh, you should have held him and called me. Hallelujah. I will offend him and apologize to God later. Amen, somebody. After, you know what they call fivefold ministry? Fivefold ministry. I will use the five on him, then I will preach what I'm preaching to you now. To him. Amen. So the New Testament prophet is not supposed to intimidate the Christian. He's supposed to equip the Christian. He's not supposed to say something, "Are you kneel down, you are shaking." No. That is Old Testament. Because the Spirit was not given to them. And please, in case you are here for the first time, don't think I'm one person that modeled the scripture or is a different church because you're hearing the name for the first time or maybe Pastor just... No. It's out of experience. These are things I expected Christians to know. So if you see that I'm not doing something, it's not because I can't do it. To sit down and study takes a lot than to profess. I can start now. I can just, if I tell you to fall now, she, you don't fall. It's not possible. But if he stands up, thank you, Shay. If he stands up, I know the father, I know the mother. Why will he not fall down? If he stands up and remains the same, he just wasted his time. So when they are abusing pastors and saying stuff about pastors, be careful to judge those who are talking. They've experienced people. You know, there's a woman that was attending this church. Somebody was winner. I'm telling you a true story. Someone was winner. And the person didn't show up until 6 months or so. And said, "Oh, just called from nowhere." And said, "I'm in church. If you want to collect your money, I'm in church." That church is somewhere not too far from here. Before they knew what was happening, he was inside church. And then they prophesied to her. You know what happened? She began to doubt your husband. Because they told her the husband was doing that. They've been married for so long. They loved each other. They built their own houses. I went to dedicate the house. She was attending this church. Suddenly, she stopped attending this church. Before they knew what, before they could say Jack Robinson, she was already losing it. Trying to come down from the balcony. The man, according to him, came home one day and saw the chief prophet and others doing deliverance in the house. So, very sad story. The woman is dead, right? So, don't think I'm just saying what I'm saying to make you laugh. Many have entered the trap of these people. And they've messed many up. Someone just meets you on the road and say, "Your wife is a witch. She's the one doing you." And from that day, you're watching what you're eating. What's wrong? What's wrong with you? Why you don't have money is because your wife, you can remember, since you got married to her, you didn't have money again. The person didn't do forensic on you to know how lazy you've been right from time. Amen, somebody. So the word of God is cast right now. You don't need to tell me, I know it. There are many, many people that listen to me, listen to this church. I preach one message per service. They break it into four. I'm going to preach it. That's not a big deal. God said from this church, he says, "You will give birth to other churches." That's not a big deal. I don't monitor such people. But they don't acknowledge that they watch it. I went to a pastor's office in 2002. He was watching a man they talk against. Not once, not twice, not thrice, not four times. That's the man he was watching. But he doesn't acknowledge that he watches the man. I just laugh in Greek. You know, God told me that anybody he calls has a problem. Even if the prophet gives you revelation, no matter how accurate what he says it, he's there to equip you. Amen. I don't know if you have seen Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11. He himself gave some to be apostles. Not only pastors, apostles. Some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. I don't know if you noticed what I noticed. Any version you read, he gave some to be prophets, some to be apostles, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Number one, anybody who is called to be a pastor must have a teaching gift. Amen? Amen. The reason why churches are different from each other is not because their visions are different. People staying over the church are apostles. An apostle is supposed to come up and sit down during teaching time. A prophet is supposed to prophesy maybe once a month and sit down and have a church. An evangelist is supposed to go and win, so we ought to contribute second offering for an evangelist and send him to Zamfara, to Kuchingoro, all those places to go and evangelize. But when he comes back to church, we introduce him, he sits under a teaching pastor. Amen. Okay, so verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the... I don't know if you listened to Alex when he was preaching, when he was speaking. We are meant to be equipped to do ministry. So if you just do your thing and walk out, you are out of line. You are supposed to be equipped. Now, it's not only pastor or the teacher that does this. Even apostle does it. Prophet, in all his prophecy, he should equip the saints. Evangelist, in all his evangelism, he should equip the saints. Did you hear that? So, if you do your work, I do my work, you do your work, you do your work, the body is edified. I'm going to get to verse 15 or so, but not now. Can we move forward? Are you getting something?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
If you're sure, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let me first of all talk to the fivefold ministry, the pastors, the apostles. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teacher. After that, miracles. After then, we talk about gifts of healings. Then we talk about helps. We talk about administration. We talk about varieties of tongue. This is different from speaking in tongues. This is the one we do interpretation for. And if you look at verse 29, I'm going to read to maybe 30, verse 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Amen. So the speaking in tongues is talking about here that needs interpretation is diverse kinds of tongue. Amen. Now, why? I don't know if you noticed verse 28 like I noticed. God has appointed these not over the church, but in the church. Did you see that? Somebody is an apostle, but he's in the church. Somebody is a prophet, but he's in the church. Somebody is a teacher, but he's in the church. Somebody has the gift of healing, but he's in the church. So, as a pastor of this church, you have your place as the pastor. But when others are on the stage ministry, whether they are singing or preaching, sit down and listen. Somebody you trained can have something you don't have. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why, I don't know if you noticed, when they say, lift up your hands, say now, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my hands. I don't say, well, am I not the one that scheduled the person to be on the stage? Is it not the scripture I shared yesterday that is repeating? What is it saying? The Holy Ghost is talking. I don't know if you've noticed something else. If Pastor Moses says, lift your hands now, and I lift up my hands. I don't say, she's my wife. She gave her life to Christ through me. Everything she's doing on that stage, I told her. Do I talk that way? No. I was talking to a couple. Thank God it's a long time. The husband said, never, God forbid, That my wife will say, I should raise up my hand, I will raise my hand. That's from hell. He's the number one killer of pastors. He's the number one killer of mentors. Particularly if you be ordained from the university. You are now doing business. You are roaming churches. You are never part of it. Come on, talk to me. You are not part of any church. You are just there, like I always say, you are there to pick one or two things. You sit in the middle. You give a look. You're always critiquing everything. There's no perfect church. That's why God brought you to the church. So that you can add to it. Come on, talk to me. Kenneth Hagin said, if you see a perfect church, don't join it. Because you are imperfect yourself. Once you join it, it becomes imperfect. Come on, talk to me. Yes, amen.
Amen.
Particularly if you've been ordained before. Maybe in secondary school or university, you're ordained. Sometimes it might be a ruin of life. You are never part of anything. People see you in church, they say, hey, Pastor Jide, you are a pastor over no congregation. I am preaching more than you are responding to me. You are so empty. You have never been blessed anywhere. Your blessing is just 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, you move to another place. You move to another place. Now you are going to about 4 churches. You think it's how many churches you go to. It doesn't work. He says some in the church, not over the church. You must make up your mind. You don't have to come to Koza. Choose one person you believe in and plug in. Everything that works is connected. Your problem is that you're not connected. You move from Koza to another church, to another church. You keep saying, oh, they don't have this. Oh, they don't have that. Oh, then what do you have yourself? Start a church so that we attend. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Let me say this to you. You're not bigger than your church. From pastor down to the last member, you're not bigger than your church. You may be a professor in the natural, but you're not a professor in the kingdom. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. If you don't desire the sincere milk of the word, you will not grow. You are not a doctor in the spirit. You are a baby in the spirit if you just give your life to Christ. That's why you must belong to a family and you must plug in. I told you on Sunday I went to dedicate some a business for someone. As she was talking, she's a doctor, I was listening. I said, you can see that I'm listening right now. Because what you're talking about, I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it. If I know something about it, I read about it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's why a lot of people run dry. I love the way the group head of protocol spoke. Let's give our hands together. Let's put our hands together. He said humility. Humility is key in doing what? In receiving or partnering with the protocol department. When the devil comes to you and there's no loss of the flesh, you know what it brings to you? Pride of life. It took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. You don't pay attention when you read your Bible. He didn't tempt him on the ground. He took him to the pinnacle. If you are seated here and you think you are the pinnacle of the temple, pastor is preaching, you are dissecting everything he's preaching. Because you've been ordained before. Or you think by now you should have ordained me. No man takes this or not. Now, the pastor of the church can call you to anything. But if you sit over a church, don't let your wife call you. Don't let your grandmother call you. Make sure God is the one that called you. I have something I do for people. If God has called you, let him support you. It's not your job. I didn't know nobody to go to. We started calls on the street. We didn't break from any church. So if God calls you, let him prove it that he has called you. I said it with all humility. If God has called us to carry, let him prove it. If the first service, there are three people there, I'll be faithful. If God has called us to Kuji, let him prove it. Amen, somebody. Amen. If God has called you, let him prove it. Who among you have you come to me that we are spreading now? So please add to your offering. No, God has called us. We have to step up by faith. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We are starting on the prayer service. You're just here. When we paid, you didn't know. Maybe we didn't have the money. You didn't know. But we didn't have to call anybody. Please, Pastor Salah, should call you. We have something we are doing. Okay, how much is it? Okay, I will support. No. So why do you expect me to be the one to pay your bill? Go and prove your ministry. I can sow a seed into something I see that is working. But you would just want to start. You are coming to me. Who am I? Am I the one that called your God? Then if it's God, I told you about this land. I saw Psalm 24 in Yoruba version. If this church belongs to God and God owns the land, thank you guys. In other words, the earth is the Lord's. But Yoruba versions put it this way, that the land belongs to God. If God can give his church land, who am I? The same thing was what we used for Lugbe Church. If God can give his church a land, we bought that land over $1 billion. If cash... Oh, let me talk. The way we spoke, cash. It's not something we're going to buy. The our lawyer is here. It's not something we're going to buy. We have bought it. We paid money. Did we have the money? No. How did it come? Faith. Was I the one that paid? No. They did it. Was I the one that bought this? No. The people that bought it, they're in the church. Amen.
Amen.
Can I go deeper?
Yes,
it took Jesus to the pinnacle of the church. Oh, if you not fall for fornication, I will spread. It is pride that makes you say, do you know who you're talking to? The question, please, protocols, ask that question. Who am I talking to? You see that person that said, I'm the chief detail to so person. The NSA, P to the NSA, was attending this church. He still attends this church. It will park with it. Do you know you can bring three trucks of military to this place? When NSA was NSA, not now. It worked with two or three NSA chief. One day I told him, I said, if I was the one from that junction, soldier would stand like this. I said, no, Pastor. He would just come and sit down normally. Empty barrels makes the most of noise. Now, I don't know what transpired. Thank God I don't know the person who claimed to be a chief detail. And I'm not. You can sit down and say, there are people you must give honor to. Not in the church. Not even special seats. It's because you don't need your Bible. Welcome to Gaza, where everybody is what? Somebody. In Ephesians chapter 4, I read 11 to you. I want to read from verse 12. Are you getting something?
Yes, sir.
for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we'll come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Anybody you meet, anybody you are raising up, don't point attention to yourself. Do you know how many testimonies I have to share? Very easy. I've not even shared testimony. People honor me so much. Very easy for you to turn to me. On Sunday, I was going to say that when I come into church, please don't stand up again. When I came in, everybody stood up. I don't know who told people to do that. I never said that. Please don't stand up again, because Christ is the head of the church, not the pastor. He said some in the church, not over the church. Now, I know that the pastor of the church is the angel of the church. The same thing I'm telling you applies to me. You must understand that you're not bigger than the church. Amen, somebody. In case you are raising anybody up, you are trying to lift someone up, I don't know, maybe you've been born again before someone, you must make sure you equip the person. One version says maturing, but equipping is the best word. You must equip the person. The question is, now that you're born again, are you equipping someone? Or you're just there, fighting for seats? Are you equipping someone? You talk about football, you talk about politics. When you want a round of that call, do you equip someone? He left you behind for the equipping of the saint. Till we become a perfect man. I'm going to read verse 14 to you. In Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Let me tell you something. The problem with Christians in the New Testament is that Christ is not formed in them. You call them fake born again, but they're not fake. What does it take to be born again? You confess Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. They are saved. I was Paul born again. Is this you? Lord, pew. Ananias, go and lay hands on that man. Go and tell him the things he will suffer. He was born again. How was Judas born again? Jude, Lord. He called himself the slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born again. But what happened to people is that Christ is not formed in them. There are lots of people in this place, and they are watching me on the YouTube, that Christ has not formed in them. They are struggling. They are confused. Go and look at the theme of programs. If they don't call it a certain name, you won't go. You will not go. Prayer, never. Concert, oh yeah, let me go. I like music. The other day I was preaching here, I saw somebody during the praise worship. The person danced outside. It was part of those who danced outside. During the word, she was sleeping. At this dome, I said, if you need me to give you something, I want to give you. People rushed out. Oh, this pastor wants to do bonanza today. I said, give the microphone. What did I teach on Sunday? None of them knew what I taught on Sunday. So you want to have what I have, but you don't want to know what I know. No, until you know what I know, I'm not going to give you a dime. This is the problem of the New Testament church. Oh, there are churches every 3 minutes, but the impact is little because people don't listen. The Holy Spirit told me one day to go to the back. I went to the back. He said, walk in. I walked in and I saw a guy watching football while I was going to preach after whatever was going on. I called the person. I couldn't hold. I said, protocol, call that person. I'm meeting you this way. I said, it's good that you are meeting me this way. How be it that you are watching? You are not that you went into your phone. You are watching something as the message was going on. Many people spoke before I spoke. Now you will say you attend COSA. And you don't know anything we're talking about. Paul says, this is the man that preached grace. He said, I labored again until Christ was formed in you. And my own is just anger. I just have anger problem. Bible says, make no friend with an angry man. In case you're not married yet, break it. If you continue, it's your choice. If he says, why did you break it? Say, you're an angry man. And Bible says, make no friend with an angry man. That may change that person, that individual. I think I will face this because you are looking at me with one eye. Amen, somebody. In case you are married to an angry man already, manage him. God will touch his heart, he will change. But what the Bible says is what I said to you. Make no friend with an angry man. Amen, somebody. In Matthew 11, verse 7, are you bored? As they departed, Matthew 11, verse 7, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? The question as you ask someone is, why are you coming to church? Why are you coming to COSA? I'm 35, I need a babe. That's why you're coming to church. Oh, it's a good place to catch a babe. Because the girls here, they hear the word. You desire a good thing, but why are you not good yourself? You think God is an unjust God, he will give you a good thing, but you're not good yourself? What did you go to the wilderness? You left home. DP, someone left home and is sleeping. So I asked the guy, am I serving vineyard? He said, no. Wake that brother. Wake him up. Brother, we don't take offering here. So hopefully it's not my problem. If you are sleepy, go and stand at the back. Is that okay? I continued the word. That was the last time someone slept. If you are sleeping, stay at home. As you are watching YouTube, be doing like Sabimos. James 1:6. Are you getting something? James 1:6. Hallelujah. In verse 5, it says, any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask. God does not scold you for asking. In James 1:6, he said, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven, tossed, to and fro by the wind. How do you know a child is tossed to and fro? You are coming to COSA. You are a lady. I told you about the woman. She was touched. She's the pastor's wife. Say, I've released my daughter to attend the church because she needs the husband. Please, the ushers that are in front, pastor, please, let's talk pastor to pastor. Don't put no ushers that are inside. The one and the ones outside, put her there. I said, okay, man. I laughed. I didn't even take her as a worker, not talk of putting her there as a challenge. But I understood. I understood. What she wanted. She's trying to win a spiritual thing with the energy of the flesh. We've all done it before, including myself. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. If you want to ask, ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You will not be tossed by the wind. I was very young when William Bryan started Fire. I don't know if you remember Fire. A man lost his ministry because of Fire. I don't want to mention the name of the church. So He thought his church members, they were saying, fire, 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 fire. In the lorry there. The son of that man attended this church when we started until they relocated to Lagos. Ah! I said, my God, your father was anointed. I said, yeah, he was anointed. He lost his church because of a doctrine. But we have believers that believe they come to church, attend another church, attend another church. They are confused. What do you believe? Well, I don't even know. I just attend church. What do you practice? I just do what my mind tells me. The word of God is like supermarket to them. I pray in the name of Jesus, you will not be tossed to and fro in it. If you believe it, shout amen, somebody. Amen. Everyone you come in contact with, you must labor until Christ is formed in them. Are you here today and Christ is not formed in you? Maybe someone didn't disciple you properly, or you didn't allow yourself to be discipled. You are a professor in the natural. You still think you're a professor in the spiritual realm. I'm not talking about being gullible, looking for people in the church. No. You, by the Spirit of God, you pick someone. You don't look at their bag. You don't look at their phones. God leads you to them, and then you pick them up and say, can you pray with me? Can you start with me in prayer? What does pastor mean when he says this? You've been in that church for 5 years. What does it mean when he says this? That's how to grow as a Christian. In Colossians 1:28, I want to read 28 and 29. Him, we preach. Christ, we preach. I have been a Christian for a while. I have the only advice I give to leaders when they come in contact with me, let people know that you are faithful to me and Christ Jesus. They will follow you. The moment someone following you senses you're not faithful to Christ and you're not faithful to pastor, I tell you, they may be healing you, but they don't trust you. Him, we preach. That's why I don't share personal testimony. I don't have everything together. But that's why I manage not to. Not because if I want to share personal testimony, I don't have. You, every service you come here, you hear that. I even forget. Because Christ is the person we must extol. Him, we preach. One in every man. You see? You can't like everything I'm preaching. Because I'm warning you. I didn't even know what happened to pastor when he came back now. He kept warning us. That's that. Warning every man. Teaching every man. I'm not only warning, I'm teaching. So I'm not warning from my head. I'm showing you scriptures. Every man, in all wisdom, in other words, I'm looking at it from every direction. That we may present every man a perfect person in Christ Jesus. I don't want you to give me prophet. That's not why you're here. I want to present you. I don't want to hear well. I want